Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests, correspondence, and inquiries for the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can find the WIBR Warn Radio Network on the following sites: Sayscape, Telegram, USA.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Linktree, Pure Social, and Gab Social. You can listen to our shows through our apps at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. We're also on the following streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Those are the carriers that you can find us on. Be sure to go to Dana Glenn Smith, and you can read this post of the Persecuted Gospel and Christian Leadership. The time when anointed leaders of the gospel are imprisoned or martyred for Christ, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye the called of Jesus Christ. That's Paul in Romans chapter 1. On warn-usa.com, you can find our Anti-Christian Persecution Classic Warn Radio Series. Anti-Christian persecution is going on around the world. Thus, it is hard to keep ongoing persecution quiet. This show is a featured classic Warn Radio series. We bring it to you as we see all over the world hostile regimes persecuting Christians, closing churches, and imprisoning or killing Christian leaders. We know about it. Be sure that the internet and the ability to get the news around the world is helping oppressed people, especially Christians who are at the hand of hostile governments and radical. Also on Dana Glenn Smith, don't miss the latest article by The Watchman, Destiny's Prophetic Progress. Destiny's Prophetic Progress in America is an ongoing battle against the monster which pursues its goal of devouring every vestige of this nation. For years, this nation has been on a cataclysmic course of a scale that would make this nation shudder. So, and now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings. Welcome to another Friday edition of Sound the Shofar. A little broadcast that we do finishing the week. This weekend, of course, we've got Shabbat starting tonight. We got Passover coming up. Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, shadows of things to come. However, Yahshua fulfilled those. We're in Romans. You know, if you look at America and the modern world, much of it patterns after the Roman world. Except for the fact that we don't have slavery. That's a big thing. They want to do reparations. What happens when all the reparations are spent and they're still in trouble? Money is not going to buy you out of your sin. You see, all men sin. The sin, though, is not in the skin. The sin is that which is within. Now, I do have an article about that. Run on over to DanaGlennSmith.com. A lot of important articles. Now, you see, Paul was dealing with this. But you see, at the time, slavery was accepted. The apostles didn't oppose slavery per se. They had to work within the system. Now today, that's an abomination. Most of those who are trying to perfect society are culture warring everything. Well, the gospel's next. There's a lot of people trying to do that. They're trying to do it in North Korea. They're doing it in North Korea. They're doing it in China. They're doing it in India, Pakistan, and many other places. We cover this stuff. Even in the Old Testament, made provisions to the Jews and instructions about slavery. Mystery Babylon speaks of slavery. That was a common thing. They didn't get reparations. Reparations to them was just being freed. But Paul was freeborn. And he was an important force. But you know, the one issue in the Roman letter, or the letter by Paul to the Romans, this is in Rome. Go figure, Romans in Rome. It wasn't the color of your skin. It wasn't slavery. Of course, in Rome, they had whites slaved and blacks slaved and other races. They didn't care what color you were. So Romans 6, the first verse, wasn't about slavery. Wasn't about reparations. Wasn't about open borders. What shall we say then, he asks. Of course, we just got done with chapter 5, and you'll have to listen to that to know what we're talking about now. Because of all things, in other words, because of what we have said previously, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, what were they doing? Well, there was that issue. Why? Well, because, number one, they were in Rome. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. There was a lot of paganism. There was a lot of hedonism. There was a lot of parties. Drunk. Sex and every other kind of thing going on there. Orgies. That was common. Bacchanalia. That grace may abound. Well, good, I'm saved now. I can go out and do whatever I want to. Well, see, that's what Paul's saying. Are you going to sin so that God has to give you more grace to cover your sin? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? See, and this is an important part. When you become a believer, truly born again by the Spirit, you're dead to sin. In that you have the power to overcome through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And through His deliverance. And that's where you have to understand that. Yeah, there's deliverance in sin, in a way for you to get out of it. But today even, we're like those Romans were, man. Well, a little sin ain't going to hurt. Yeah, and we've had a lot of big noted pastors who got themselves in trouble. This issue is not just with the congregations, not with the Sunday-only people. Matter of fact, if you look at the church, you find out real quickly that you may not see someone all year long, except maybe on Easter service. But the sin seems to be in the church, even in the pulpit, many times. Look at Louis Palau, great man of God. Everyone loved him. Millions got saved under his crusades, literally. But they're going to change the name of the organization because many women came out, number of women came out against him because of the things that he did, having to do with sexual. That's in the news. But see, we find that a lot, more than we should. But see, we are in America. The touchstone, the base of the idol, the epitome of everything great. Yes, we love our sexual deviancies, our pride, and many other things. But see, as Christians, we need to understand that when in a hedonistic nation, we do not become hedonists like the rest of them. But even as we live here and live aloof or far from that, we still behold the sins going on and all the stuff before us. It vexes our soul, as that which is said of Lot. It vexed his soul, seeing the evil deeds every day in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're not just talking about homosexuality or lesbianism. Sins is a lot more than just that. Verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Now, that doesn't mean literally you're like an angel and glorified now. That just means within this body. This body is a body of death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There's a reason appointed to die, because you need to put off this fleshly body, because it is the body of death. It carries the curse. You're not redeeming this flesh. You're not redeeming the color of your skin. You're not redeeming the color of your pretty hair. You're redeeming your soul, your spirit. And God will have you a new body, glorified. You got to put it off. You're going to. Every man, every woman, every child eventually meets that end. Nothing you can do about it. When I was a young kid, tended my grandfathers, both of them. One moment my one grandfather was alive and the next moment he was dead. I'd worked with him on the farm. He was gone. The next time I saw him was in a casket, a cold piece of meat laying there, and it was tough to see as a kid. When my other grandfather died, my dad was there, I wasn't. But when he came back and I talked to him, he said, "Well, we all have to go. I'll be next. You know, one day it'll be my turn." Matter-of-factly. Don't you love people like that, that are just matter-of-fact? "Oh yeah, I'm going to die someday," you know. Others can't even talk about it because they're afraid of death. I've never been afraid of getting older or pursuing the next day. We have to look at life, indeed, as a gift of God, but a greater gift is being redeemed. Now see, those who like water baptism would be saying, "Well, this is referring to water baptism," but we are literally baptized into Christ. And that dunking is through the Spirit of God, born again of the Spirit. You're brought into Christ through His Spirit. You are changed within, and the newness thereof is that resurrection. Mere water is not going to change you. If you were changed by water, you wouldn't need the Spirit of God. You need to be born again by the Spirit, John 3. You need to receive Him, John 1. 1 John 1 says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's a relationship. It's a newness. Now you see, Paul had to remind them of that. They were in the Roman Empire. They were in Rome, the center of hedonistic behavior, slavery, politics. Oh, dear God in heaven. Rome had their own politics and their own plots. And they had crazy emperors who thought they were gods. And then after a time, they persecuted the Christians. 10 major persecution of Christians. And the Christians wound up as the targets. The Christians, as is said, were fed to the lions, pulled apart by chariots, crushed by elephants, eaten by lions. If you look at the history of the persecution of Christians, it wouldn't encourage you to become a Christ follower. But you see, there is something about that, because when you're ready and you come to the Lord, like this recent story that came from our advocacy show, this was a particular young man in a country that is opposed to Christianity in many ways, although it claims to be a democracy of type. And there are so many of these stories. One who was laying dead after his wife and some relatives took him out of the house and threw him in a grave. She didn't want to deal with him. He had been really wicked, done a lot of things, and now he was sick on the deathbed. But as a boy, he had been told that Jesus was the living water. And in this sickness and dying, he wanted a drink of water so bad. But you see, he would come in and out of being awake, and then it looked like he was just getting weaker and weaker, and they didn't want to deal with him, so they took him out in the middle of nowhere, and threw him in a grave. They didn't even bother to bury him. They just put him in there. And as he lay there, he was really thirsty, and then he remembered the fact that when he was a kid, this Christian told him that Jesus was the living water, and that he gave people water to drink, you know, a life-giving water. So he cried out, "Jesus, my Savior, give me some of that water." He kept yelling and screaming out in the middle of nowhere on the verge of death. And as he lay there, all of a sudden he looked up and he saw heaven open and he saw this stream of light. And then he saw Yeshua, Jesus. And he saw the nail scars in his hand of which he had been told. And in his heart, where his heart was, there was a hole. And out of the hole was pouring water. And it came right down into his mouth. He appeared to him, told him who he was. The kid was changed. The Lord healed him on the spot. He jumped out of that hole, literally, he says. And everything that was wrong with him, he had been hit by traffic. And he didn't have any money. This is in a foreign country. You just don't automatically get into the hospital. The doctors that treated him said there's nothing we can do. So he was dead as far as everybody concerned. And this ain't the first time we've heard these stories. So he comes back. Knocks on the door. Can you imagine the look on their face? Oh, you know, this is the way God works. That church ain't going to save you. That church is a good place for Christians to meet. But the reason the church is anything at all is because the believers are there with the Spirit of God on the inside of them, and where two or more of these believers who are truly born again by the Spirit and are meeting together, the Lord is in the midst, and so you have church. You have unity. So Paul says in verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death." That's the death of the old man. See, you have an old nature. And when the Spirit of God comes in, he overpowers that old nature. Now, Christ talks about this in the gospel. Binding the strong man. That's what the Spirit of God does. But he isn't going to do it unless you invite the Lord and you believe on him. And then God will impute unto you righteousness because of your faith and belief. And that imputation is the Spirit of God in you. And as soon as the Spirit of God gets in there, he kicks out the ruler on the throne. He cleans you up and gives you new desires. Now, I know what I'm talking about, and so does Tower. Because when we were truly saved and delivered, there was nothing like it. I was walking 2 feet above the ground for a long time. Of course, you're brought down to earth eventually. Well, did you really be 2 feet away from the ground there, sir? That's what you feel like. Feel like you're walking on clouds of air. You feel like a burden has been lifted. You feel like indeed you came out of the grave and you're a new person. This wishy-washy, new, fangled in some areas of knowing Christ without repenting and all the rest of this stuff is nonsense. You got to be serious. verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's why you have the Spirit of God. But see, a lot of times we conform to the world, and we do the things that the world thinks are okay. It's not okay. We are separated. We're in the world, not of the world. We are dead indeed unto sin. That doesn't mean you're not going to have the desires of the mind and the lust of the flesh to battle. You have to. That's part of it. Well, let's see. I got to get the church together every day in order to battle my demons. No, you don't. You can do it by yourself. If you would pray, seek the Lord, trust Him, and use the authority. When a thought comes in that you shouldn't be thinking, I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name, and I rebuke the flesh that gave in to it, and I rebuke the spirit behind that thought. And I bind that foul spirit and cast it into outer darkness. If you're becoming attracted to the point of having some kind of sexual immorality with somebody, you need to get out of that situation. You need to get prayed up. But see, we think all these things are okay. They're temporary. Now, Christ can forgive you. But the problem is the issue here that in Rome and in America, and we say the glamorized West, the institutionalized, constitutionalized, modern West nations, and I classify Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, a lot of these, where a lot of the colonial Christians were. Today, there's a lot of temptation, just like there's a lot of temptation other places. A lot of temptations. And you see, that's what we need to do. Pay attention. We need to make sure that we're walking in the light as He is in the light. Because you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to make sure that we do not let sin reign in our mortal body, so that you would obey it in the lust that it brings with it. See, these are the issues. We're not to serve sin. We're to be in the light. We don't make excuses for it. There's going to be a lot of surprises. Because your idols ain't going to get you there. Paul goes on to say, for he that is dead is freed from sin. If you reckon yourself dead unto sin because of Christ, there is a power within that you can call upon and you can rebuke it. Now see, in order to call upon that power, you need to be doing your work. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be praying. You need to be fasting once in a while. Well, we need to be at church with all the Christians. That ain't going to help you if you don't pray and fast and seek the Lord and read the Bible. You need the Word of God in you. Now, you can get that in there in a lot of ways, but you need to be studying it, be in it, connected to it, walking in it, meditating on it. Rubbing shoulders with a bunch of Christians is great, but I can tell you that what we do in the church, many times we run over the wounded. And there's a lot of Christians that love that passage, confess your faults one to another and you should be healed. Well, in our Western hypocritical society, that's not a good idea. Because we hold grudges, we hate, we lust, we get jealous. Yeah, that's in the church. Judgment will first begin at the house of God. Then if we who are saved barely survive, what will the sinners and the ungodly stand? You're about to find out, America, because Joe Biden and his minions aren't there to be your buddies. They're going to bring in policies that will be antichrist. They will be totally rebellious. They're initiated by people full of pride and wickedness. And they're planning on changing America, taking away your rights, and forcing it down your throat. And part of this will be abominable things that they're going to make normal and going to push, and it will force the churches to make decisions. Do I serve mammon or do I serve Christ? Now see, the ones who decided to serve mammon in China who are Christians don't have any problems with the Chinese government, communists. It's the ones who are walking in the light of Christ, want him first above everything else, that had their churches burned down. People, their names were taken. They were imprisoned like Wang Yi. See, there's a difference between being free and being a Christian and being in a place like communist China and being a Christian. And you've got people up in that White House and in Congress who just as soon have you in prison. You know, they want the patriots and the Christians conservatives who supported Trump. They even want Trump in prison. They want to imprison everybody. Kamala Harris is on record as saying that, among others in the Democratic Party. They talk about Trump talking in his speech. He told them not to go do what they were, you know, to be peaceful, not to do anything. But you see, there is a difference here. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead you know, when you believe that, then you've been delivered from that second death. Now the first death is when you put off this mortal body. Everybody. And the only ones that are going to escape that is when the Lord comes back and he meets them in the air, you know. But see, death has no more dominion over us in the fact that the second death has no effect on us. We're still going to die, but we, you know, put off this body of death. But it's going to take us a while. So when we put off this body of death, from then on out, we don't have to worry about death again if we've received Christ. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Once we're redeemed, and we're born again through the Spirit of God, we are dead to sin. Now, you need to reckon yourself dead. You need to realize that through Christ. And if you're doing what you need to be doing, then these lusts will not have dominion over you. Now, there's those things that people do every day. That hang on. And it takes longer. But what Paul is simply saying here is that when you believe in Christ, there's a power. As it says in John 1, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You're not sons of God if you're living in darkness and in sin. God doesn't have fellowship with wickedness. But God will give you grace. He will forgive. And one of the best examples is 1 John, where it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. When we're in that light with him, we have fellowship one with another. Then, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You have to be in that light as Christ, walking as he walked, having fellowship with him, and that blood will continually cleanse you. But if you're a disobedient son, and you, oh yeah, I love Christ, and you're over here and doing all these other things day after day, you're not in that light. You're in the darkness. These are the differences. Verse 11, he says, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So then he says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. You see, we have hands we can use for Christ, feet we can use for Christ, and everything else. But yield not your mortal body to these things. Now see, your body's part of the fallen nature, but the spirit within you is not. The Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God comes in, cleanses you out and lives within, God has given you the power that in the dominion over your body, it can be under grace and alive under righteousness. We are changed, made new. And we can live that way if we want to. Problem is, a lot of people get away with it because, especially in America, it's just the way we are. Now, in verse 16, he says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now, you see, and he's explaining this change that we as believers should be going through. And we have the right, we have the ability to do it or not to do it, to yield or not to yield. Believe me, this is indeed a relationship issue between you and the Lord. That's all this is. If you're not where you need to be, like the Lord said, read John 15. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. In the Old Testament, the vine was seen as Israel. In the New Testament, the vine is Christ. He is the one to whom we are attached. Now see, he goes through all this and he says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin." See, they were the servants of sin. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. And when you're born again, you've all been that way. You were the servants of sin. But he says, "But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." You listened. Christ came and gave the teachings to the apostles. The apostles gave them to the early church, and it passed down. We've got Bibles today that we read. But make no mistake, there is a doctrine of salvation, soteriology, that thing which we look at and understand that if we believe. Now see, and it's not just words on paper, because personally, I know because of my experience. And I'm convinced that every Christian, and I'm talking not a pseudo-Christian, I'm talking a true believer born again, they know it because God has revealed himself to them. And that revealing comes through his Spirit of God. Through the Spirit of God. And when you obey from the heart, when you seek the Lord with the heart, and it says, being then made free from sin. See, that's how come you're overcome. You're not doing it in your strength. You have been made free. When you receive Christ and God imputes this unto you because you have believed. See, it's a process that you don't see. You believe first, and then it occurs. It's faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we seek him all the time, we know that he will reward us, because that's the kind of God he is. But if you don't have faith, you cannot come to him. How can you come to someone if you don't believe that they exist or they're there? But with the Lord, you have to believe that. But see, I know these things, not because of words on paper, but because of the confirmation of the Spirit of God. For his Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. It's not just, well, we just believe and have no evidence. We're just like dumb monkeys. No, we're not. Why do you think Christians all over the world put up with the most damnable things being done to them? Why do you think they suffer like in North Korea in cages and are stuck in them for days? You can't walk. They don't allow you to go to the bathroom. You just sit there. Why do you think people do that? How can they do that? Why don't they just say, you're right, I won't do it anymore? Why do they persist? Why do you find in India the Hindus wanting to get rid of the Christians? Because Hindus are getting saved. Why do you think the Muslims are making war against Christians? Because Muslims are getting saved. We know this. We're in contact with ministries that are on the ground over there. You need to listen to some of these programs we're doing. They will encourage you. There is a God, and He is alive, and He's going to save people, whether the Muslims, the Hindus, the governments like it or not. And it doesn't matter what Biden and the rest of his minions do, or any other person. They want to get rid of the Constitution. They want to destroy America. They want to come against us. They can. You see. But that ain't going to change nothing. Because we've been born again through the Spirit of God. His Spirit bears witness with us that we are the child of God. That's why you have to tune your body, mind, soul, and spirit to the Spirit of God. And I like that. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's being born again. And that's where you need to be. And you need to be looking to the Lord. And during these, and if you're an American, you know what I'm talking about. You know the division and everything we've been having. Christians have been called to being divided. Our service is unto Christ, not unto America. Now, I was born here. And our family goes clear back to the beginning. I've got documents. Yet the bottom line of it is, I'm not born again through my culture, through the color of my skin, or just because I'm an American. You see, I was raised in the Methodist Church. Our whole family went to the Methodist Church. Yeah, I knew who Jesus was. But I had that churchianity, like everybody else did. But you see, God had another calling for me. And I can tell you, the devil tried to kill me many times, destroy me, because of the things and who I was. But you see, God delivered me. And I was never the same. And it's not like you're never going to have any problems. That's dumb. But yet, we believe that. But you see, even the weakest Christian can do as Christ said. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist. And I say it this way. You're there in your house. You're being tempted. You say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. So the devil appears and he's laughing at you. I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. He's standing there. He said, didn't you hear me? He says, yeah, I heard you. You have to flee in Jesus' name. Well, I know who Jesus is, but as far as I'm concerned, you don't even believe. I'm the one that believes. And I know that if you don't believe, I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here because you don't believe. You're saying that, but you don't believe it. How do we pray? When you're praying for divine healing, your prayers sound good, but deep inside, you don't really believe the Lord can heal. Now see, we raised our kids and grandkids to believe in divine healing. We prayed all the time as adults. That's what they do. If there's a sickness, if there's something coming on, the first thing, they'll call us up and we'll pray. And if I'm feeling something, or tower, we'll ask them to pray. You see, this is a living, breathing experience, and those devils out there know if you have faith or not. Just going to church isn't faith. Not unless you're like the ones over in India and other places, where just going to church will get you killed. Now that takes faith. But going to church, who's going to kill you if you go to church? Are you going to get thrown in jail? Are you going to get persecuted? What are you going to do? Oh my, you ran a red light and the cop caught you. Woo woo. Or Saint Sister over here said something that made you mad, so now you don't want to forgive her. Woo woo. Get over it. I've been dealing with this nonsense forever. I've been dealing with it on social media, Christian, both women, children, and everybody else that gets on there. They live in their own little fantasy world over there, and they can hate who they want to hate and like who they want to like. I see it all. We're divided. We're not where we need to be. We've got godless things going on. And the people that are in power now are bringing in policies, especially some of them, if they go through, will train children in a way you don't want them to go. It'll send their souls to hell. Your children are at risk. Remember, in Israel, there grew up a generation that knew not the Lord, and that was terrible. Well, we've been in Romans, a good book. But you see, we can make a difference. We can live above the fray. We can live unto God. We can have His Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we're His children. We can walk in assurance. We can walk above the fray. Now, that does not mean in any way, shape, or form that you're not going to have tribulation and trouble. Doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle. Dear God in heaven, you have not a clue. But you see, the thing of it is, God loves you so much that He made a way for you. And there's no need for you to be a loser. There's no need for you to feel oppressed, depressed. You know, if you're filled with a demon, it can be thrown out. If you're afflicted with anything, God can heal you. And if you die, if you're a Christian, you'll be with Him. We overcame, past tense, Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love our lives not unto death. This day and age is not for fence sitters. This is a day and age for you to grab a hold of the word of God. You take it, you grab a hold of it, you command it, you believe it, and you follow it. And things aren't easy. Ask the Christians in North Korea and China. In Tigray, Ethiopia, Burkina Faso, Nigeria. Oh God, there's this almost every place on earth. And we sit in our mega churches or some of our small home mission churches here. We have all manner of denomination, all manner of things going on. But I can tell you with all assurance and proof that those who are killing Christians could care less whether you're a Baptist, a Pentecostal, a Catholic. They don't even care if you call yourself a Mormon or a Jehovah Witness. You're all an enemy. But they especially hate Christians and ones that want to be with the believers and ones that are on fire and refuse to lose their faith. They hate them. But God loves them and He makes a way for them. Father, we thank You for Your word. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. And Father, I pray for all those that hear this. Give them assurance of salvation. Give them deliverance. Give them confidence and help their faith. Let them stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. They don't have to perish. No one has to perish. But as you said in the context of John 3:16, they don't come to the light because they love darkness more. Let them find the light. Let them find you. Let them fall in love with you and understand your power, your grace, and your goodness. Go with the Lord. We got a weekend, and where we're at here, we've got another major storm coming in. We had a big one not too long ago. We still got the snow from that. We got another major, major historic storm to the south of us. One of the worst ones that we've seen coming. It could be historic. There's a lot of historic stuff, and whenever you see these kind of events, this is the Lord. These are the end of days. Christ is on the throne. He's coming. Be prepared. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.